The doctrine of the church has come to an end, and something new will be coming up for the morning services. But series that we started here in the evening some time ago on the blessings of faith is still going on. I thought I would only find 6 or 7 blessings of faith. There's an awful lot more than that. And as I keep coming across these blessings, we'll keep going in this series for the time being in the evening. Tonight in John chapter 12, I give your attention now as this is a reading of God's holy word. Remember that the Bible is not a book that has the word of God in it here and there, but it is the word of God. It is inspired, inerrant, and infallible, and it is our only rule of faith and practice. John chapter 12, starting in verse 35, actually. A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed, and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah again said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So far in the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Our Heavenly Father, as we have worshipped you in song and in prayer and giving a part of all that you've blessed us with, we would now hear your word proclaimed. And you have ordained that through the foolishness of the message preached, the power of God would go out to save sinners and to build up saints. And so, Father, let your Spirit be at work in the preacher and in the hearers, that we may honor and glorify you. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, in the vast eons of eternity before time, there was nothing. Genesis 1, verse 2 says that darkness was on the face of the deep. We cannot penetrate into that time before creation. But that idea that when God was about to bring everything into being, you had this darkness. Darkness is an uncomfortable thing. It chills your heart. It unnerves your courage. It'll confuse your mind. and your senses, your walking. And the only remedy for darkness is light. Light is actually the very first words ever heard in the universe, right? God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Yahweh is God, and He has made His lights to shine upon us, says the psalmist. Light is a gift from the Maker of all things. It is the very first thing of all creation. Our world is a dark place, and sin has made it so. And there are corners of our world where the shadow of that darkness seems to be growing. There is a foreboding pall that seems to spread. And you may think that the sun is in fact setting on all that is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Anything that is virtuous and anything that is praiseworthy, you may think is being pushed out by the darkness. But God is still good, and God has spoken, and light has come. We sing, "I once was blind, but now I see. There was a time when I did not have the eyes to see that light. I had a cold, dead heart and could not feel that light. But God, in the fullness of time, sent forth His Son, and the light of the world is Jesus," we just sang, "the eyes of faith to see by the light of life have come." Now, if that sounds overly dramatic, if it sounds a little hyperbolically preacher-oriented, your problem's not with the preacher. Your problem is with Jesus, who said in verse 46, our text, if you will, tonight, "I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." He said in John chapter 9, verse 5, "I am the light of the world." John's gospel opens by describing the Word, Jesus Christ, as the true light that shines in the darkness. Paul put it this way: "Christ, who is over all, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen." This God is the light of the world. And one of the blessings of faith is the light of the world, Jesus Christ Himself. So we want to think a little bit tonight about darkness without light, the reality of light, and the person of light. And how do we switch on this light? It's very clear that there is a darkness without light. John 12, verse 35, "He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going." Now, that's a spiritual truth, but it's also a pretty reality, real truth, isn't it? We try to get around in the dark and we're lost. Very few people in our world are born totally blind or live totally blind. And the ones that I have known are amazing, are they not? They manage to deal with all the things we take for granted in amazing ways. And yet the Bible uses this physical darkness as a picture of a spiritual problem. In fact, Satan and his demon horde are called, in Ephesians 6, verse 12, the rulers of darkness of this age. That's the phrase that God uses to describe them. We know that dark is opposed to light. They are enemies of one another. They do not come to the table together. They do not compromise. Proverbs 2, verse 13 says, "Those who leave the paths of uprightness walk in the ways of darkness. In other words, there is a clear path of light and a dark path of sin. And there's no in between with dark. Acts 26, verse 18. Basically, what is this great gospel doing? It has come to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. In other words, when the Bible speaks about darkness and light, it's trying to tell you that darkness is not your friend. It is not something you ought to be acquainted with. It's not something you ought to enjoy being in. And we all know that without light, there's not much that grows. You don't stand out in the dark enjoying that feeling. You know how when, after a long winter, which we're probably all anticipating, after this summer, oh, except for Victoria, who had never shoveled snow in her life. You know how when we go outside on one of those early spring days and the sun is out, we stand with our face in the sun and just let it warm us? You don't do that with dark. You don't stand in the dark and go, ah. There's a very real, visceral reaction to dark. And what is the visceral reaction? Pretty much, I want to get into the light. There are some people who are, as you might say, asleep in the light. And a sleeper may dream about light, but the dream goes nowhere and does not last. It's not dreaming about light that makes light so valuable. Death and the grave are often related as dark and lonely places. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that the fallen angels were delivered into chains of darkness. So this is a very real dichotomy that the Bible puts before us. You cannot deny that darkness is real. Now we in the West, we here in the United States, power outages are pretty rare. Yes, occasionally one comes along that lasts a few days, but almost all of those are pretty quickly resolved. Darkness, having no power in your house, is short, unexpected. But in the third world, it is a regular daily occurrence in vast reaches of this planet. There are people who anticipate having no power most of the time. And when the power does come on, it's intermittent, and nobody can be very sure that it's going to last very long. All of those things together make us understand we are not creatures of the night. Several times in Proverbs, it speaks about the wicked doing wicked things under, what, the cover of night. If you know a policeman, if you've ever had a chance to talk with a police officer who's part of your family or friends, they will tell you that nighttime is crime time. And in fact, guys, and I suppose some women these days who have gone into police work, the shift they want is nighttime. That's when all the stuff happens. And the Proverbs tells us that's why the world is a dangerous place, because without light, darkness overtakes everything. But there is a reality of light. Jesus says to us in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He says so in John 9, 5, I am the light of the world. He says here in our chapter, I am the light. While I'm with you, you should be walking in the light. As deep as the darkness in our world is, it's not hopeless. There is a light. The shadow of death is there, but the shadow of death, because the reality of sin has spread all over the world, we can see it, we can sense it, but the light is still there. Even if, as the Bible says, the God of this age has blinded those who do not believe. the light of the gospel is still the light of the gospel. In the deepest midnight, in the hours just before dawn, has the sun stopped being the sun? No. Still there. And so in the darkest, moonless, cloud-filled night where there are no stars to be seen, and it's really dark, the sun is still there. Hasn't moved. Hasn't changed. And so too, brothers and sisters, in the darkest soul, where you might think the light has never shined, and that soul has become black and dark and a foreboding place, there's still a light. And when the sun shines, there is enough light for everyone. Isn't it interesting that no matter how many use it, there's still more, there's still plenty. No matter how many at a time use it, there's still plenty of light. So is Jesus. Plenty. In fact, the light shines on ugly and impure places without losing any of its glory. The sun still shines on places where very ugly things are going on. Isn't that what they complained about with Jesus? Jesus ate with sinners, and yet he remained pure. Jesus was in the company of tax collectors and prostitutes. They called him a wine bibber. And yet Jesus, the absolute pure light of the world, was not diminished and was not sullied by where he shone. Never once. And neither is that light of life. Remind you again, the first word that was ever spoken was light. And that life-giving light, that power of light, is undeniable. We all know what it does. We who live in this part of the country see it happen seasonally. We get tired of that frost and that fog and that muddled gloom of winter, and we're longing for longer days of light. Plants and flowers flourish in light. I still remember former pastor Leonard Gulstrom talking about how things grew in Alaska because of the long, long light periods. Tomatoes as big as just unbelievable things. Why? Because the light was there. The more that that light shines, the more wonderful the effect. When the light of Christ dawns on a wintry soul and spring comes into that light, the change is often remarkable. And people look at somebody who has become the Christ and say, what happened to you? Sort of like somebody who spent just a little too long on the beach when they come back from their vacation. You can see it in their face. Maybe just a sunburn. But you can see it. Well, there's an effect that Christ has on the darkness of our souls. All darkness flees before light. There's a reality of it. Another time in the year, by this point, at 6:45 at night, it'd be pitch black out there, wouldn't it? And you cannot reach out into the pitch blackness and pull blackness into the light. You can't pull that darkness into the light. Isn't it interesting that you can take light into darkness and scatter it, but you can't take darkness into light and scatter it? That's the power of our Christ. He goes into these dark places and will not be quenched, will not be diffused. And so the light of the world did not stay in heaven. It came down to earth. And the gospel is nothing less than the announcement of that light. The light has come. And brothers and sisters, there is no ignoring that light. And there is no covering that's going to change that light. And there are some things in our world that have tried to cover that light. Science and education and philosophy and governments have tried to cover that light. But that light is still there. And that light cannot be snuffed out. It's a reality. But all of these images that we have of physical light do not compare to the person. Jesus said in John 9, verse 5, I am the light of the world. The Word is God. We were told that at the beginning of John. Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is the true light. John 1, verse 9. This is the light that has come into the world. He is called in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness. He is called in Luke chapter 1, the Day Spring from on high. He is called in Revelation 22, the Bright and Morning Star. He is called in Hebrews chapter 1, the Brightness of Jehovah's Glory and the Express Image of His Person. Jesus is the light of the world. What is it that He does? What is it that He reveals? He's the light of the world because He shows us the Father. Remember they said, they came to Jesus and said, we want to see the Father. Just show us the Father. And Jesus said to them what? In John 14, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. To know God, you need to know Christ. And if you know Christ, you know God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Well, we may have only seen Him with the eyes of faith, but is that not the very image that the Scriptures are speaking about when it talks about opening My eyes, that I might behold wondrous things in Your law? He is the light of the world because of what He is doing now. What is this light producing? New life. And where He shines, where there are those who believe in Him, as our text has said, those who have put their faith in Him, that light has dawned. And He comes and not only gives new life, but He pardons sinners. He heals the broken. He comforts the downtrodden, blesses those who have been persecuted, saves those who have been lost, and guides those who are walking in shadowy places. He is the light of the world because of what He will do. Revelation 22, verse 5. There shall be no night there. What a wonderful promise. Why is there no night there? For the Lord God gives them light. He is the light itself. No need for electricity. No need for a sun. No need for a source of light. Jesus, God, is that light Himself in glory. And so Christ rising in the world has made daybreak come to this dark world, if you will. The shadow of death flees before the empty grave of Christ's resurrection power. You think it's just by chance, of course, or just a coincidence that God would have those come to the grave at dawn as the light was coming back into the world to see the empty grave? Because the light of the world had just come out of that place. You know, somebody has once said that the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away so people could see He wasn't there. Didn't need the stone rolled away to come out. But He did roll the stone away so we would know that the grave was empty. All of those types and shadows of the law, all of those types and shadows of the sacrifices of the Old Testament administration of grace are vanished in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God comes and the night of sin and death is over. And that light has flooded the world. And even if we were to be out there on some very starry, starry night with the fullest moon that we could conceive of, the biggest, brightest, clear moon, those stars and that moon cannot make it day. They might light our path on a really bright full moon night. You can see where you're going very clearly, but it's still not day. Only the sun can do that. And the world's brightest lights of philosophy cannot shed light on a soul. The most refined science cannot open the eyes of a sinner. The most careful morality cannot make it daytime in the dark night of the soul of a sinner. Only Jesus is the light of the world. And no other light is going to take away that nighttime. How is this light switched on? Come back to our text in John 12, verse 46. And what does Jesus say there? I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. How does that light come? It doesn't enter by working or waiting. It comes by believing. It is faith that ends the darkness. It is faith in Jesus particularly that ends the darkness. And thus, hearing, believing, and keeping God's word, the soul is enlightened. Your path is brightened. Your faith grows under the influence of that light. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. The prophetic word which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's the question, brothers and sisters. Has the day dawned in your soul? Has the day come and scattered the darkness, vanquished the darkness in your soul? He says, whoever believes in me, Christ is freely offered to you who have ears to hear. He's offered again every time you hear the gospel preached, every time the word is opened, that gospel is being offered to you. But be warned. The same Jesus in the same text says in verses 47 and 48, if anyone hears my word and does not believe, I don't judge him, he says. I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. If you hear the words of Jesus and do not believe His words, if you reject His words will judge you on the last day. It's not the preacher you're ignoring. It's Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you're still in darkness. He said in John chapter 3, verse 19, the light has come into the world and men loved what? They loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Why would anyone choose to stay in the dark? And yet he says, whoever does not believe in me abides in darkness. Now, I don't know how many of you have had much time in the darkness of night on a regular basis. But in my early years in college in Salem, Massachusetts, I was a security guard at one of the largest plants in Massachusetts at the time. And I was the sole security guard traveling all of those acres of floors in the middle of the night on the third shift. I hated that job. I hated that job. But it was the job the Lord gave me, and I used a flashlight all the time. Always had extra batteries with me because of that vast, dark place